you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. A great story from the Apostle Paul. Some event that happened that must have influenced him significantly to the point that he felt like he needed to bring it to the attention of the people that were part of this church that he had planted in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." So he's talking about grace here. We want you to know, he says, I want you to know about the grace of these Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. In this chapter of Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, those of us who follow the Lord Jesus Christ get a glimpse of what it means to have resource, and then what responsibility we might have in sharing that resource in a world filled with need. Earlier in this letter, Paul had said, if anyone is in Christ, in other words, if anyone has established a relationship with Jesus Christ, then old things are passed away. And he said, all things have become new. It's not just a matter of adding on an extra to your already busy lives. It's a matter of all things, old things, passing away and being set aside, and all things becoming new. He said, all this is from God. This is God's plan, his purpose, who reconciled the world, reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given to us who follow after Christ the ministry of reconciliation. God has committed, he said, the message of reconciliation to us, his followers. We are therefore, he said, ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. God has entrusted to us, his followers, gifts and resources, time and treasure, to be used for the building of his kingdom. Paul was impressed when he heard of the generosity of this little group of Macedonian churches who, within their poverty and extreme trial, he writes, understood in other texts to be persecution and famine. Great famine, no food, nowhere to turn for food, and in the midst of it, great persecution because of their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of that, he said, this overwhelming difficulty in this Macedonian churches, they responded with grace, he says, with overflowing grace that welled up within them. I'm not sure about you, but I'm not sure that would be my reaction in those life circumstances. Persecution, famine, great difficulty, and in the midst of all, overflowing joy. And they responded in rich generosity. That's inspiring to us who follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, to realize that Christ indeed has saved us by his grace. All things have passed away. All things have become new. And All of this is a gift of God, not by works, so that none of us can boast. This morning, I want to talk for a few moments with you about generosity. You'd expect that from me and in my position as Director of Financial Services for the Church of the Nazarene Canada. Generosity, which is defined in the dictionary as kindness. Basically, kindness. A willingness to give money, help, or time freely within the context of a nobility of character. So according to the dictionary, it's a character issue. A generous, kind, or noble act. Generosity. I believe generosity is one of the truly significant Christian traits of character for those of us who follow after Jesus in the 21st century. The church has been known for a variety of things over the years. Things we do, things we don't do. Truth of the matter is, in the 21st century, if we're going to catch the attention of those around us, I believe it's going to be because of a spirit of generosity that wells up within us, regardless of our life situation. In a world that attempts to squeeze us into its mold of greed and selfishness and materialism and covetousness and self-indulgence, Paul inspires us here with a story of liberality. Three things I want to say this morning from this text. This all, number one, begins with God. This is all about God and his activity in your life and mine. Paul suggests these Macedonian churches, these people in those churches, gave themselves first to God, who, according to Philippians 2, Christ Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped and held on to and possessed, but in fact took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient even to death. Our tendency in our day, because of the world that we live in and the pressure of society around us, it affects us all. There's no denying it. It's true in my life, and it's true in your life as well. We watch the television. We read the papers. We are influenced by the society that we live in. And our tendency in our day is to spend much of our lives looking out then for ourselves, wanting to make sure we have enough in the circumstances of life. We spend much of our time looking out for ourselves and comparing our situation to the situation of others, and even in some cases judging our success in life by what we have or don't have compared to others who have, it seems, more than we do. And when we do, we quickly conclude in our North American society that, in fact, we live in some kind of extreme poverty because we don't quite have enough, never have quite enough, lacking this or not that, never quite there. Truth of the matter is, when we establish a relationship with Jesus Christ, he accepts us the way we are. We don't have to clean ourselves up to be acceptable to God through Jesus. He accepts us the way we are, but he's not content to leave us there. In fact, his purpose, God's purpose, in your life and mine, is to bring us into a place of Christ-likeness. We who follow after Christ are challenged by God to become like Christ. He, in fact, changes us over time, sometimes dramatically, sometimes bit by bit by bit, into the very image of his son Jesus. If that's not happening in your life or mine, you've got a problem as a Christian. Truth of the matter is, God is on a mission and a purpose. Our mission as a Church of the Nazarene worldwide is to make Christ-like disciples in the nations. That's the goal, that we might become like Christ. God's mission in our lives is that we become like Christ. We all love Romans 8:28. It's a great verse of comfort for us when things don't go well. In all things, God works to bring about his good. God is active in your life. And even if things aren't going so well, God has a plan and a purpose, and he's bringing his will to bear in our lives. But I love the next verse. Don't stop there. Romans 8:29. It's better yet. He says, Paul says, for those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son Jesus. The mission of God in your life and mine is that old things pass away and all things become new. And that we, in fact, because of God's activity and the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are being changed into the very likeness of his son, so that we are set free by God to allow his spirit, the fruit of his spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the fruit of his spirit to grow and to develop, that we might become like Christ. Here's what I think. Generosity of spirit, of character, in your life and mine, is the flow of the Lord Jesus Christ through our lives. It's allowing God to enter into situations and other people's situations and other people's lives because we have a generous spirit. I need you to know this doesn't come naturally to me. It does my wife. She's just generous. And I'm not naturally generous. And so I have to allow God's Holy Spirit so to work in my heart and life that my character changes, so that over time I indeed am becoming more and more generous in the circumstances of life. As we give ourselves over to him, he graces our lives. He graces our lives with opportunities to share his presence. He graces our lives with the opportunity to share our possessions, what we have and what we possess and what we have control over. Time, money, experience. I used to preach as a pastor, and I felt it was true that it was just all about love, that love is the essence of being a Christian. And the more I got to know my neighbors, I discovered that in many circumstances of life, they were more loving than I was. Really made me mad. Really made me angry. In any given situation, they were quicker to the respond than I was. What's the problem here? What's happening here? Generosity begins with allowing God to be God in our lives. Secondly, generosity, we discover from this scripture, isn't something, in my opinion, that comes when we finally have enough. When we finally come to the place where we feel like we have enough, then you look out, boy, I'm going to be a generous person. In the meantime, all holding back, I just have too many things to deal with in my life. When we feel like we can afford to be generous with our time or resources, then it'll finally be a time for us to be generous. No. In fact, no. In relating this story, Paul notes that out of the Macedonian Christians, extreme poverty, extreme difficulty, their life circumstances, they gave richly and generously. Why? Because in fact, God had worked in their lives, was working in their lives. They pleaded for the privilege to give. We're all encouraged, I think we're all encouraged by stories of people who are generous in our society today. Bill Gates, who has a foundation and, you know, billions of dollars, and Warren Buffett and Zuckerberg with Facebook, and this is inspiring to me, to have that much abundance and resource and to be willing to give it. That's really inspiring. But I want to tell you what's more inspiring to me. It's the single mom with two kids who headed out to church this morning and on the way stopped and wrote a check for her tithe for this church or another church. That's inspiring. Or a young couple with kids who can't hardly afford to keep things together, who honor God with their time and resource and have learned to put God first in their lives, in every situation of their lives. It's not something that's going to happen somewhere down the line for you. It's something you need to begin to do today and tomorrow. We in the church preach tithing, giving 10% of your income to God through the church. We don't do that because we need to fund the church. God, in fact, doesn't need your money. Truth of the matter is, we do teach that because it's the right thing for you and your spirit and the building of your character in Christ. Generosity is a matter of character, of doing the right thing and being the right thing as we follow after God. It could be that you're here this morning and, by the way, the church teaches tithing 10%. You can't really prove 10% in the scriptures, by the way. Sorry. You can prove less than 10%. You can prove much more. You can prove 26%. Depends on which scripture you want to go to. So why stop at 10? But we teach 10. Why? Well, it's a good place to be. It's a start. If you have not developed the discipline of tithing, how do you do it? You're kidding, Riley. What are you talking about? The bills? What? Next Sunday, bring a check for 1% of your salary. Just start at 1%. Just start. And then along the way, increase it to 2. And the Lord will lead you and ask Him to guide you. Please make this happen. I want to be a generous follower of God. And then go for 3. And 4, and it's not a matter of you having less. In fact, an amazing thing happens when you put God first and start giving yourself away. You won't know how to handle the abundance that God pours into your life. I do believe that one of the things holding back the work of God and the kingdom of God in our world in the 21st century is this lack of grace, the grace of giving. We live in such a materialistic, self-indulgent society, and we're all victim to it. I was watching TV the other night, and like I've never wanted to own a truck. That's really an admission for an Alberta boy. I never have wanted to own a truck. My sons want trucks. My son-in-law drives a truck. Everybody wants a truck. I've never wanted a truck. I watched this ad on TV. By the time I was finished watching that ad, I knew I would be happy if I had a truck, just like that one. They put such a number on me. I want a truck so badly. I want it today. I still want that truck. I know that if I have that truck, I'll be content. I'll be happy. I'll be fulfilled. Well, of course, not true. That's the society we live in today. You can just never have enough. And the problem with that is a spirit of self-serving, self-indulgence overwhelms us. And it's hard to fight back. But as Christians, we have to. Not for our sakes alone, but for the sake of the kingdom of God. You cannot give God. If you start to give God his rightful place in your life, he will pour back into your life exceedingly abundantly beyond anything you can even imagine. True. Thirdly, Paul encourages us all, this is a good one for me, to excel in this grace of giving, in the grace of generosity. That's what he says. He says to the Corinthian church, he tells them about the Macedonian church and how this was all, and he says, and you who are who excel in faith and speech and knowledge in complete earnestness and in the love of God, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I like this. Those of us that have been in the church for a while, we know about God. We do. We go to Bible studies. The reason we go to Bible studies, I think, is because we feel like if we know more about God, then we'll be better able to follow after him with our lives. I think some of us know more about God than is good for us. It's not a matter of knowing about God. It's doing God. It's allowing God to be God in our lives. The key is willingness, according to verse 12. We didn't read that. We believe, in fact, that if we practice his ways and follow after him with all of our hearts, he will direct our paths. He will give us the desires of our hearts. He will fulfill our lives with such abundance, we won't hardly know how to handle it all. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses, the leader of the people of God, was standing before the assembly of God's people. And this is what he said to them. You who are the people of God, you may say to yourself, my power and my strength, the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. He said, you may say that. Moses said, you may say that. But remember the Lord your God, he said, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. God provides opportunities for us to work. Jobs, situations. We live in a country of such abundance. You may say, no, you don't know my life situation. I know that 4 billion people of the world live on less than $100 a month. Half the world lives on less than 100, and we say we don't have anything? That must be offensive to God, don't you think? When we say, well, we can't do that because we live in such poverty. Not true. One commentator talking about this message by Moses said he was warning the people of God about a prosperous condition. If there's anything that describes us in the 21st century, it's we live in a prosperous condition. So much abundance in our country, Canada. So much freedom. So much wealth and prosperity. So much to give God thanks for. God wants us who live in such abundance to learn to excel in the grace of generosity. That's a word for me. That's a challenge for me. God has honored by the grace of giving, by our learning to live generously. It's God's work in us, through us, to bring about his kingdom in our world. He has blessed us with so much. He just asks us, please, he says, honor him. with our time and our resource and our energy. If this lifestyle is foreign to us or to you, then I have good news for you this morning. It's never too late to start doing the right thing. You might, just as you're sitting here, you might just say, all right, I need to do this. But look out, as you leave today or early tomorrow morning, you will be faced with an opportunity that God brings your way to be generous in your spirit, in your heart, with your time, with your resource. If you know about this grace, then Paul encourages us all to bring to completion this grace actively in our lives. And I pray that the Lord's grace would be evident to all. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you today for your grace active in our lives, bringing about your purposes to fulfill your will. All of us here today are a different place, age-wise, marriage-wise, family-wise. We're different place, we're different circumstances, but all of us faced with the opportunity to prove you and to honor you with all that we do, all that we say. May we follow after you with generosity. May we be people, a people, as Pastor Norm has suggested so many times before, to be generous in spirit, in finances, in all that we do and say. Would we honor you as a church for your kingdom's sake in this city and indeed around the world? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.